Thanks for tuning in to the BAMF podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and today we're doing a very special podcast focused on Supers, the revised edition, which has just come out. And with us today, we've got a, well, first off, my usual co-host, Abe Smith. Hey, Abe.
Hello.
From the UK, across the pond. And Abe also did quite a bit of art for this edition of Supers, right?
Correct. Yep, and layouts as well.
Cool, cool. And we have Mr. Walt Robillard, who is kind of the godfather of all things Supers now.
Yep, Mighty Morphin Monkey Pants on deck.
How much painkillers are you on these days, Walt?
Quite a bit, unfortunately.
Okay, just making sure. For our listeners who don't know, Walt tore his Achilles tendon, right, a couple weeks back?
Yep, just sitting here with a big smile on my face, a cup of coffee, and trying not to fall on my keyboard.
Okay. Also, we have the author of Supers Revised Edition, Mr. Aldo, help me with your last name.
Regalado.
Doesn't flow off my tongue, I'm sorry. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, and it's co-author, because Russ Boyd, of course, did 50% of the writing, so he deserves 50% of the credit.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Is this your first time in the RPG arena, Aldo?
Well, you know, I did the Freedom Ring and the Iron Gauntlet as two self-published works, but this is certainly my first professional effort, yeah.
Okay, the Freedom Ring and Iron Gauntlet, what system are those for?
Those were also for Supers. They were supplements for the first edition of Supers.
Oh.
And actually, I did them for... Bash as well, UE as well.
Oh, cool, cool. I released some things for that as well. Nifty, nifty.
Yeah.
Well, hey, so let's talk a little bit about, you know, Supers is out, Revised Edition. It's been on top of RPG Now charts for since Friday, I believe. You guys are number one.
Sweet.
It's good to be king.
Yeah.
let's say in 2 months you're in the elevator with a bunch of guys talking about, you know, games, and how would you pitch Supers Revised to somebody? Revise to somebody and tell them they need to check it out.
Aldo, since this is your first time on, you want to run with this one?
Sure. You know, I mean, I guess one of the things I would say, and I don't know if this is something that sounds good at first, but I think it's great, and that's that the system is almost invisible relative to some other games that are out there. You know, I'm a longtime Champions player, and for many, many, many years, really a couple decades, I was like, that's the only way to do Supers. And when I ran across the Supers rules and really took a look at them, because it took me about a year to really take a look at them, I was blown away by how well it did everything that Champions did, but with a system that was almost transparent. So you can really just focus on the fun that is, you know, superhero gaming and the story, and not worry about all the sort of the clunky things that come with a lot of Supers games. And I think it really does that better than a lot of the other rules-like games that are out there as well. So I just, you know, I would really focus on that experience of play.
Okay, cool, cool. Yeah, we actually did an actual play here on the podcast a few months back, and I have to agree with you. It was just an awful lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, well, cool. Let's talk about, let's say I'm an old Supers fan. I've been playing the old, who was the original guy who came up with Supers that you guys acquired the rights from? Who was that?
Simon Washburn.
Yep.
Simon Washburn.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, out of the UK as well.
Yeah, yeah. Those Brits are everywhere. what have you guys changed from Supers to Supers Revised?
Walt, did you want me to take that or you want to take that?
I'll start and then I'll throw it over to you. How's that?
Sure.
This is why we work well together, by the way. Very, very respectful team we had. One of the things that when we started going into it that we wanted to establish was to take, because originally the premise was very simple. We just wanted to scrub it up, professional layout, new art, throw it on the table. But as we started talking some more, we noticed that the game, even though you could emulate certain things, we felt that there were certain things that just weren't plugged in right. And it was my best analogy that I gave to my business partner, Andrew Cullis, was, you know, we could take this as like a stock car off of a car lot and spruce it up with all the bells and whistles that would make this a truly custom experience. And that's the great thing about Supers is if I have a group and I'm playing X Supers game and you have a group and you're playing X Supers game, like Aldo was saying before, the system is so invisible that all you have to do is concentrate on the story and the rules carry you. And that was the great thing. And that's what we also saw when we were doing Extreme Earth. You know, you have what is essentially a four color superhero game, but you move this lever here, unplug this, but plug it in over here, and now you have an experience that works very much like Jack Bauer with superpowers. It's deadly. It's gritty. It's you know, at any moment the MOOC, where in a regular super's experience, you know, you just, these guys are meant to slow you down, and you're gonna get through them. But with those switches and levers turned and changed, you get to Extreme Earth, and now all of a sudden that MOOC with the machine gun and his four buddies, those guys could take you out. You could be in a world of hurt. So once we established that the structure was there, but we wanted to have it customizable for everybody. Mm-hmm. That's when we turned it over to Aldo and Russ. You want to take it away, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's interesting. This is the first time that we ever talk about levers and switches and dials, so to speak, on the game. But we were really thinking about it in much the same way. You know, we wanted to give people guidelines to be able to, you know, there were a lot of questions, and Supers was out, the first edition was out, and you go to the forums, there were people who were always asking, how would you do this? How would you do that? How do you do death in Supers, right? How would you use this power? How would you use that power? And so really, we felt from the fan community that there was this call, not so much to change anything fundamental, but to just provide guidelines that we could all agree upon as a community, that we could use as kind of a baseline for further discussion, and while preserving this kind of judge freedom and player freedom that there is with the system. But along the way, we also tweaked a few things that are fundamental to the game. I mean, we didn't change the very core of the game, but we did change the damage system a little bit. We found that we wanted to use levels of success to affect certain tactical objectives in the game, and we found that the old damage system was very difficult to get those levels of success, right? Because it was all based on multiples of the defense roll was the number that you had to double or triple in order to get those levels of effect. So we switched it basically, and since it's a D6 game, we basically changed it to every six pips that you beat the defense roll by or the target number by is a level of success. So that's a fundamental thing, which I think provides a certain level of fluidity to the game. We also included benchmarks for things like, what do the numbers mean, right? So there were loose ones that were given in the original one, but we were far more precise about kind of helping people to judge what the numbers mean in terms of, you know, if you're trying to stat somebody who's like the Hulk, what would be appropriate fortitude, or what would be appropriate dex, reaction. We also just went through and said what powers are missing. You know, there were a lot of powers that or some powers anyway, maybe about 10, that we felt there wasn't a straight up way of doing it in the system. And we added those in, you know, things like transformation or dimensional travel or a few others. And we added things like material strength, you know, how do you break things? This was one of the early questions in Supers. Super vehicles, right? Base of operations. All these kind of genre-specific things that the game lacked, which we just had a blast kind of – Russ and I had a blast just kind of coming up with and adding to the game.
Okay, cool. Just out of curiosity, how do you do dimensional travel?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Was that a bad question?
No, it's not a bad question. I mean, basically we just have – you buy it you buy a rating for it like you do for any other power, and then the referee has to decide what the target number to get to different dimensions is, and then you just roll to be able to affect that change. And of course the narrative aspects of it could change. So if the GM decides the judge decides that it's a that there's particular turbulence in the cosmos or whatever that would make it difficult to make the roll, the target number would be higher. And then, of course, you can just use the power like any other power for a straight-up attack or defense. So you can say, I'm going to attack my foe with dimensional travel and make an attack roll, let the person come up with a viable defense against that, and if you succeed, there's a mechanic in there for figuring out how to what kind of damage, mental or physical, the person takes depending on whether you sent them to like a plane of fire elementals or whether you sent them to a nightmare plane. That might affect what kind of damage the target suffers. But again, as always, it's left the judge is left a lot of leeway in terms of defining what actually happens, and the players, both the attacker and the defender, have some control over that too with the choices they make.
Okay. You touched on one of the things I love most about supers, which is that you can use pretty much I don't want to say any power for anything, but you know, you can use a lot of powers for a lot of things if you can justify it. Like, you can use dimensional travel as an attack or defense, for example.
Right. Right.
That was one of the coolest things I encountered playing supers, was that it's got, you know, that kind of wacky comic book flexibility, so you can do crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the one that sold a lot of folks in my playing group was, you know, you can use super brain to dodge at energy blast, right? Because if you can calculate the trajectory, you can just step out of the way. And people were like, really? You can do that? And I was like, yeah, absolutely you could. And they were, you know, hook, line, and sinker from that point on. They just have a blast coming up with different applications.
Yeah, it makes Reed Richards a combat entity, which is nice.
Exactly, exactly.
So just being the smart guy back in the lab figuring things out. So that's really cool. Well, you guys had a very successful Kickstarter. And I know, did we have any stretch goals get unlocked? They're coming out soon. I guess that's a question I'm awkwardly sidling up to here, is what's coming out next for Supers? Because it's been kind of a huge hit, so we expect some kind of follow-up or something, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we set the stretch goals realistically. We didn't want our first couple of stretch goals to be, yeah, we're going to get you a T-shirt and new floor mats for your car with Supers logos on them and all this other junk. We wanted
swag
to,
kills, yeah.
Swag kills in a Kickstarter. You got it. We wanted to have our first few benchmarks be an improvement on the product. First benchmark was one of the first benchmarks was to bring in a tactical system. Dave Bezio is a frequent role playing game reviewer, and you know, we saw that he had actually posted some tactical rules way back in the way back. So, you know, we contacted him and we said, hey, you know, if we get a stretch goal, if, you know, if we blow through some of our goals and, you know, we can fund this, would you be interested? And, you know, that tactical section is in the back of the book. And we kept that going. To me, the most important one that we did was the extra money that we received in order to make the book look better and, you know, purchase more art. And the artists that we had on the project were all very understanding with us in working within not only our budget but also working with the kind of feel that we wanted. You know, we didn't want just something that was Cartoon Action Hour or Bruce Timm, and we didn't want something that was just like Jim Lee or, you know, Todd McFarlane. You know, we wanted a blend so that if you picked up the book, you wouldn't have a preconceived notion of, well, this is the only thing you can use it for, you know, because that's what the art suggests. And we went with multiple artists with different art styles. For example, Joe Singleton did a lot of the art for the book, and he got to play with different scenes and different actions and different powers. And then you look, that's in slight contrast to AIDS artwork that was very, very motion oriented. There's a picture in the book, right beside the density control power. And that power, you know, that power breathes off the page when you see AIDS artwork. When he emailed me that artwork, he was like, I don't know. I really don't like it. It's kind of like, meh. So I open up the file and this thing, I have a couple of high resolution monitors in my office, and I'm sitting there jumping from monitor to monitor trying to figure out which one's making it look better. And it's just a picture of this little girl in the street, pigtails, you know, and she's got like her mom's, tablecloth on it, like wrapped around her neck. And she's defending this little cat in the street, and she's got her density control turned all the way up to 11, and a car just hits her. So she saves the cat that way, and the car gets all smushed and battered. The guy behind the steering wheel is like, you know, he's sitting there with a surprised look on his face. And meanwhile, the cat is just sitting there going, oh, wow, cool. You know, so, I mean, there was a lot to bringing. We didn't want to just lay something out in Microsoft Word, throw in a few pictures, and slam it down into people's hands. We wanted this thing to have a life of its own, so that when you picked up Supers, not only would the production value grab you, but it could also send your mind in different ways as you're reading the rules. So
that's an interesting point, because I know one problem that, say, Icons has ran into is, I mean, they have one artist, and Dan Houser's a friend of the podcast. We love him. But it does kind of shoehorn you a little bit into thinking of that game in terms of the art that's in that, it's in the book. You know, people tend to think of Icons as a very much, you know, animated, you know, it's emulated cartoon kind of feel, just because that's sort of how it looks. Sounds like you guys were aware of that and kind of sidestepped it with art here.
Absolutely. And I think that with the artists that were represented, you know, we definitely were able to give certain portions of the book a good, almost like personality. You know, like I said, AIDS, his images are very lively and very full of motion. You know, while Joe's images are very grand, lot of scenery, lots of things going on around just the characters. So it lets you know that, you know, like for example, there's a picture of a girl being yanked off a roof by like a Spider-Man type villain. And, you know, it lets you know, not only is she in trouble, but I mean, what is she landing into? There's a whole city of people below them. What is going on? So, you know, it gives you that feel that, you know, supers are just more than people who just battle on the page. It's, you know, there are consequences. There are things to live up to. There are goals and ideals. And we wanted to bring that across with the art. As far as stuff that's coming out, soon, we just released, in addition to supers on the same day, we released the micro adventure that we played actually on the podcast. Scene Stealers number one, and basically Scene Stealers are just like single session play through adventures that have. You can play it in a single adventure in a single session, or you can take the suggestions and add-ons in the back, and you could make a whole campaign out of $1.99 little supplement. So that came out first, and that's doing very well, right beside Supers. We have, we are in talks as well as actually have deals in place with several, well-known publishers who have already approached us and wanted to do one. One was, of course, Fanning Cove Games with, John Gibbon and Joe Bardalis, as well as you, Mike, for Extreme Earth. As far as the potential for this game and what could come out for it, sky's the limit, because you can adapt this to anything. And if you go on our forums, you can actually see that people have adapted it to anything, everything from video games to like straight up action movies. So it's pretty cool.
Nice. So we haven't talked to Aid too much yet. Aid, what was your experience like working on this project?
Yeah, it's good. Walt gave me kind of the general kind of ideas for what the art needed to be, and I tried to give him the best stuff I could do. So, yeah, I trying to kind of emulate those classic kind of archetypes you see in a lot of the comic books and that kind of thing, but not strain so obviously, hopefully, that it's like, it's Batman, it's Superman. Just kind of getting edging towards it, but not quite fully embracing it. It's been fun. It's definitely gave me kind of free reign to do whatever I wanted to. There was no real information about character designs and stuff like that. I just gave, basically just draw this thing. If it's design the characters the way you want to do it and go for it. And that's what I got to do. So fantastic stuff.
Well, there's a guy jumping into a car on page 10. I wouldn't call him Batman, but I might call him Fledermaus.
yeah.
So, well, cool. I can definitely, just paging through it, I was a Kickstarter backer, so I've had it for, I'm going to say, a couple of weeks now. I definitely like cool art in here. I got to work with John Singleton. That guy does some great stuff. And obviously,
I love that stuff. So I say, when I'm doing layouts, it's like, that's just beats my stuff hands down. so nice to put another bit of John's artwork in there, if I can get it in there. Yeah, fantastic.
I'm looking at one by John here. It's not the Hulk and the Captain America, but yeah, maybe Bulk and Captain France. It's
that's awesome.
Oh, so cool. All right. Well, let's see.
If I may, Mike, one of the things that made this experience and made me want to continue doing stuff with Supers, between Aldo and Aid and Russ, my partner, Andrew, working with Joe, working with all of the guys like Reed DiFilippo, who did the random character generator. I mean, everybody we worked with, I knew that these people were experts at what they did. You know, Aldo, through his Freedom Ring and Iron Gauntlet release and working with Russ, I knew they had a good handle on the system, and I knew from their background they could knock this out of the park. Aid's art has always been fantastic. So Aid stepping in and doing art and doing layout after seeing what he did for Stark City, seeing what he did for The Great Game. I mean, you know, you're talking, these people are at the top of their game. So all I had to do was say, just go in this direction, and then I just had to get out of the way. And that made this experience incredible, because not only did this have my push to move it forward, but it had all of their passion and professionalism as they brought everything to the page. So, I mean, I say it all the time. These guys deserve the credit. You know, I mean, I hinted and nudged and stuff, but these guys did the lion's share of the work, and they really deserve to roar about it.
That's very kind. You were, and I've told you this before, you were a tremendous leader precisely for the style that you're describing right now. I urge everybody to work with you if they have the chance. But you know, it's funny. I remember Andrew telling us, sending an email at the very beginning of the process saying, or maybe it was you, it was one of you, or maybe both of you. One of you said, you know, we want to hire folks to do this who will be thinking about this 24/7 just because they love the game, you know. And that's exactly who you hired, you know. This is just, this really was a labor of love, you know. It was just so much fun to do.
I can't believe I never noticed the random generator before now. Page one.
Random generator is really cool, yeah.
That's pretty nifty. I wonder if we could, I got a friend who, got a guy I work with who does some JavaScripting. I'm just wondering if we could code that and put it into some kind of app. That would be pretty nifty. Well, yeah,
that would be cool.
Yeah.
The only drawback was laying the damn thing out, because it's so many boxes. It's fine. It's great.
Go ahead and talk about the layout real quick.
The night was fun. There's a lot of tables. It took a long time to do a lot of the tables. And I was kind of worried about getting everything as kind of as high res as possible, so they were all readable and everyone could see what was going on. Target numbers? The big table?
Yeah.
With all that was a nightmare. Every single number had to go in by hand, so that was,
ooh,
that was fun. But I just wanted the layout to kind of look as good as I can get it to look, and hopefully looks slightly different from the other projects I've been putting together, but hopefully staying on par with that kind of level. And basically checking with Walt and Andrew and everybody else, and making sure everything looked as good as it could do, and before kind of firmly committing to anything, making sure everyone was happy with what I was doing. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, I noticed a beautiful multicolored chart there in the beginning of the book. Reminded me of Phaser back in the old days.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, Aid gets on the, hits me up on an email, and he's like, the charts aren't lining up in the layout program. So, what do you want me to do? And I said, hey, man, you do what you need to. And, you know, he... You can definitely tell through some of the emails, some of the frustration that he had to go through to make that look as beautiful as it does. So, you know, we really appreciate what he did on this.
It does look beautiful. We've never spoken in Aid, but I'm blown away by it.
See, that's all I need to know. As long as the people I'm doing the work for are happy with it, that's all I'm, yeah, obviously you write it and you've got to see your words on the page. As long as you're happy with what the end product is, that's fantastic, yeah.
Yeah. And then the other thing that killed it was, we couldn't put in the page numbers or the index until everything was laid out, because we needed to know what was on what page. So afterwards, I'm going through and I'm scanning, this PDF with the find feature and scanning everything with, scanning everything by eyeball. And I have layout programs here and, pulling pages out, re-putting in page numbers. But a couple of pages that I did, I knocked out the layout. So, I didn't think anything of it, because on my screen it looked fine. People were emailing me, dude, what did you do? Beautiful layout. You crushed it. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, it's one reason I always hire someone to do my layout is it's way too easy to trip over landmines in layout programs if you're not real deep on them.
Yeah, next time, Age, you're putting the page numbers.
I can do that. That's no problem. It's always my last job, but I will do it. Type in 1 to 200 or something, one after the other for about 2 hours a day. Yeah, always a fun job, but yeah, no problem.
Hey, so I'm not seeing a lot of supervillains as I page through this book. I see Doc Rock, and I see a lot of, in the NPC section, you've got some monsters. I see a Kraken. That's cool. But I'm not seeing a lot of supervillains. I'm guessing that'll probably be something we see coming soon from you guys as a list of characters, adversaries, that kind of thing.
Well, there is a set of archetypes, right, that you could make into heroes or villains. But, yeah.
Okay, archetypes. And I must have missed that. Where are we looking?
It's right at the end of the character generation section. You've got about 10 or 12, I think it is.
Yeah, about 12, I think.
Page 97, Mike.
97. All right, there we go. I was in the neighborhood, just wasn't looking right at it. Oh, yeah, there we go, character archetypes. And there's a guy who is not the Black Panther.
See, that is one piece of artwork I tried to get in that damn book. That was not it where it was supposed to go. I had to move it, and then eventually we got to the section. It's like, okay, there's an Animal Avatar character. Say, right, we've got to use the Panther artwork. It's got to go in there. It's so nice.
Yeah, let's call him the Beige Lion. He looks good, though.
Yeah, Joe did a really good job. And then Aid sent me a note when he laid that page out, and he's like, I think it was the third iteration of the layout that you sent over, Aid. And you were like, I had to find a place for this guy. So I look, and originally that lion archetype was a lizard. So, we had to go in and make some changes, and I had to get with Aldo because some of the things just really weren't lining up because, we only had so much space left on that page. So we did what we could to make it work, and I think it came out really good.
Yeah.
It definitely looks good. Okay, so I'm paging through the archetypes and checking out some of the cool art you have there. So, yeah, all right, I could see that being a good place for any GM who wanted to grab a character and just go. So, cool, well, that works. So how relieved are you guys now that this is done?
It's done? What do you mean?
Well, I work with you guys on a lot of projects, except for Aldo. It's my first time meeting you, but I know you guys have been working on this nights and weekends and days for months and months since the Kickstarter. I mean, is there some palpable, heavy sense of relief, like you've been let out of a,
For me, it's just kind of giddy excitement, to be honest. I kind of feel like Walt in the sense that, he says, what, it's over? Because we're thinking about the next thing. I know that Walt's talked to me about some upcoming projects, and I have some projects I'd like to develop on my own, and they're all associated with supers. So, in some way the work continues, but it was just kind of when Walt sent the email saying that he had posted it on RPG Now, it was like this strange stillness hit me, and I'm like, very excited for what was coming. It was like a coming storm, but a good one, and I'm just excited to see it take off these first few days the way that it has.
Excellent. Can you give us any kind of previews of some of those projects you've got in mind, or what goes under wraps for the time being?
Well, oh, I'm sorry, Walt, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, Aldo, go ahead. Tell them about some of your stuff that you have coming up.
Oh, when I did the Freedom Ring and the Iron Gauntlet, those were supposed to be the first two of a series of projects that just kind of fleshed out a superhero universe. I was trying to harken back to the old Champion stuff where there wasn't too much of a predetermined universe, but rather pieces that people could play with. And kind of weave into their own. So even like the Freedom Ring is a superhero team, but I tried to make them kind of a superhero team that could serve as antagonists to some degree, because I didn't want them to be the team of this universe that I was creating. And I'd like to continue that line. So I have – I guess one of the things I'd like to try to get off the ground next is republish both of those books in one book called in one book that would reintroduce them with updated stats, but also include the material that would have come in for the next two supplements for that. So it would be kind of a superverse a campaign book. But I have other projects, so I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to do that right off the bat. But hopefully, and then within the next year or so, that'll get off the ground.
Okay, cool. Looking forward to seeing that. Now, Walt, I know you and I are working on adapting some Justice Wheels for Supers, and
so stoked about that.
Andrew Collis, I've heard, is going to be doing some Heroes and Villains releases through Zenith Comics.
That's correct.
What other big supplements are you thinking about from Hazard Studios for Supers?
Well, we have, in addition, in joint cooperation with Zenith Comics, we're going to be helping Andrew get out Villainous, which is going to be his line of game products stemming more from his Zenith Comics universe. Supervillains was a big hit for us and allowed us to make a little money and do some things that we wouldn't have been able to do without it. So he wants to take those characters, brand new art, introduce new characters in addition to them, and push that forward. As one of the stretch goals for the revised edition, Andrew was contracted to write basically a love letter to the old Champions Viper book, and it's going to be called Skull. And he's actually been writing that now. And massive amounts of research went into it. He's really doing good things with that. So we're going to be excited to get that out to the backers and then put that out to the community through some of the e-merchants and stuff like that. The next release for Hazard coming out is going to be one of the supplements that we released during a Kickstarter, which was Third Power, and that is much in the vein of Aldo's releases, where he had a group that you could use as either heroes or villains. Third Power is the same way, and it's a supplement that allows you to have like a scientific angle, very Fantastic Four-like, to your games. So, you got the main characters who can either be used as good guys or bad guys. There are three organizations in there that can be used as either good guys or bad guys. Tons of mooks and NPCs. And it really had a lot of value when we put it out. There was some great art done by Russ, some art done by myself. So we're looking forward to getting that out. We just have to replace one piece of art on that. And then that's going to be hitting. And then I can announce it here. So our next big supplement that's going to be coming out, we decided that, Supers as it stands right now is pretty complete. But we wanted to show people what you could do with it. So everybody should look for, when it comes out, Extreme Earth for Supers. So if you wanted to take your four-color game and make it very gritty and dark and more agent-oriented, where, there's conspiracy around every corner and, yes, you can shoot fire out of your mouth, but, that guy with the Glock 17 can take you down just as fast. That's going to be coming out from, of course, Fain and Goat Games. And then beyond that, like I said, we want to show people what we can do. So we don't want to necessarily put out source books for a particular universe, but take pieces of the comic book genre and show what you can do and how far you can take it when you're using Supers as the engine to drive the train. So the first one coming out is going to be Agency Unlimited, and that's going to be S.H.I.E.L.D., Argus, those types of agencies, and how you can not only have those organizations in your game, but if you wanted to play that style of game, if you wanted to play a S.H.I.E.L.D., a S.H.I.E.L.D. campaign, or you wanted to do the Achilles, Stormwatch Achilles, Team Achilles, how could you play that using Supers?
Cool. And so beyond the agency book, are you thinking like Silver Age, Age, or more like cosmic or magical, or is that kind of on the drawing board still?
We have one beyond that, but we're going to keep that under wraps for the moment because I don't have a writer for it yet. But attacking different genres and ages and stuff like that, if somebody wants to do the writing, all they got to do is get in touch with me. I'll take a look at what you got, and we'll put it on the page for you.
Okay, cool. Let me think. So we've covered new projects, talked about the art, talked about the writing. Sounds like there's a lot going on, percolating. Probably see a lot of Super Project over the next 6 months to a year, it sounds like.
Yeah, no sleep for me.
All right, okay. Well, hey, I mentioned that before the show, this is a super podcast or superhero comics related podcast, so it'd probably be weird if we didn't mention the X-Men movie. But from talking before the show, it sounds like the two A's, Aldo and Aid, haven't actually seen this movie yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Okay, but you're planning on it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Me not. I don't do live action supers, I'm afraid. I do not watch any of them, pretty much.
Well, that's kind of interesting. Is this a philosophical thing for you? You just don't feel like it captures the...
I just don't think they live up to what the original premise was. Yeah, there's always something. There's always something in my head that just niggles the hell out of me that just refuses to go away and just bugs me. Captain America's costume in the Avengers would bug the crap out of me the entire thing. Yeah, Hulk's great, fantastic. Yeah, but that costume was terrible. Days of Futures Past is, I don't know, the thing about. The thing I find more frustrating than anything else is them constantly redoing the same storylines in every single kind of output they've managed to do. They do the animated series. What do we do? Well, first story we do is Days of Futures Past. They get around to the movies and eventually they do Days of Futures Past. They never seem to do original storylines. It's always stuff that you've seen before in three or four different times as well. So, but hey, it may have changed completely from the original storyline, but hey, I'm not bothered.
I would say... change a lot from the original storyline. What do you say, Walt?
Yeah, I mean, without spoiling anything, you know, from the main protagonist being altered to, some of the characters that are involved. I mean, it's the way the timelines were treated. There was a definite departure. I mean, there were some nods to the original story, but I think that they made it just interesting enough to keep the fanboys in check with the hope that they would entice new fans with something a little bit new.
Yeah. I got to say, I guess to anybody who's not seen the movie or you, Aid, maybe in 6 months when it's out on YouTube, just do a search for the Quicksilver scene, because it's one of the best uses of super speed I've ever seen in a movie. And they're in the Pentagon. I could spoil it. Basically, there's like a 90-second sequence where they're getting into a fight with some guys, and all of a sudden everything goes quiet, and the soundtrack comes up with Time in a Bottle. And it's just hilarious. The whole theater I was in just broke out laughing.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, my wife doesn't do superheroes, and she laughed her ass off at that one.
So just for a good demonstration of how you do that power in a movie, because that's a tough one to do right. That was a lot of fun. So, go ahead.
Going back to what we were talking about earlier, you were saying how you can basically use every aspect of supers to either attack, defend, or issue a special effect. One of the scenes toward the end of the movie regarding Blink. For those that have seen it, think back to that scene. That is a perfect example of using the super's mechanics to using Blink's, the way Blink's teleport, dimensional teleport.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. They do use teleport to do just about everything. Attack, defense, it's, I can't say enough good things about how they had the fight stage. They even let Storm be interesting in this movie, which is a nice usually poor Storm just hang out in the background looking stern, but this movie they gave her some stuff to do of substance, so that was a nice change. I'm really curious where the franchise is going to go from now, because at no point in the movie did anyone stop, turn towards the camera and say, "We are so sorry about the last movie, X-Men 3. Careful, we're sorry we took your money for that." But they kind of get that vibe at different points. And now they've reset the counter and undone so many things that movie did. Characters being alive who were killed. I'm kind of curious to see where things go.
So no hint of Cyclops coming back to life?
Cyclops is back.
Oh, really?
So, spoiler alert, yeah, Cyclops is back. At the end of the movie, Wolverine's walking into Professor Xavier's office, and he sees Jean Grey, and he kind of, he's going to get romantic, and all of a sudden Cyclops is like, whoa, whoa, easy, come.
Great.
That's the thing with the movies. They always do it. It's exactly the same thing. They can never think of a way of rounding the story off without murdering a villain or a character like Superman. Oh, do we need to get rid of Zod? Oh, no, we just murder him. That's fine. Get him out of the way. Oh, what do we need to? What if we need to bring him back? Oh, shit. I didn't think about that. So Cyclops is the same thing. It's exactly, we've got seven X-Men. Let's kill three quarters of them off. Oh, what if we did? Oh, damn, we're going to do another film, aren't we? Yeah. It just bugs me.
Well, it's kind of like the set. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
I was saying the comics do that too, though, right?
They're... Oh, hell yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's almost. It's gone past being a joke in the comics, where it's kind of, hey, weren't you dead? Oh, I was for a while, but you know, I'm back now. It's like going on vacation. The after credit scene clearly references Apocalypse.
Nice.
Yeah, so I mean, for X Men, that's my least favorite X Men villain, so I'm not so jazzed. But everyone else seems to love that plot line. So
I guess Apocalypse stuff really cool, and then he was. Almost like the finger in every pie of every X-Men bad guy for God knows how long. It's like, oh, it's Apocalypse. Oh, really? Yeah. There was some good. I mean, the Age of Apocalypse obviously was I really enjoyed the actual that kind of time travel weirdness going on there and a few other stuff going on. But with him having same as not Mr. Sinister, it all seemed to be those two for a while. It was Mr. Sinister, Apocalypse was kind of the two key bad guys for the X-Men for a good long while. So
yeah.
So. Yeah, they're definitely gonna make another one. Like I said, I really love this movie. Technically, I have Apocalypse in the next one. I'll wait and see. Although, I mean, it's the same director as long as Bryan Singer doesn't wind up in prison or something. So,
right,
should be all right. Well, do you have any other? I've been kind of monopolizing the conversation. What are your thoughts on the movie?
I enjoyed it. There were some parts where I was like, eh, but there were a lot of the movie I really enjoyed and I really liked it. Some of the. The things back and forth between Wolverine and his parts of the movie were pretty funny. But I mean, as far as like the movie was going, not only was I enjoying it as a fan of the X-Men, because I've loved them since the 80s when, I first started reading comics, but I really enjoyed watching it and going, oh crap, I can do that with Supers. Oh crap, I can do that with Supers. That's badass. I can do that with Supers. And my wife is just sitting there, and, every time I giggled a little, she's like, stop thinking about the damn book and watch a movie.
Nothing but love. Nothing but love.
Oh, my wife's a soldier. She doesn't let me off easy, so.
That might explain. My wife was in the military, too, so it's I don't get off easy at all. I feel your pain, buddy. That's what I need to say.
Yep, so. we're in the hard luck wife and broken leg club.
You're like my evil doppelganger on the East Coast.
Right?
Yeah. For anyone who doesn't know, I broke my leg back in January. So Walt and I have been empathizing over our mutual states of debilitation and painkillers. In terms of superhero movies, are we done for the summer?
No, we have Guardians of the Galaxy coming up.
Wait, is that this summer?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Another franchise destroyed. I've abandoned Guardians. The comic book, I love the Abbott Lane stuff. I even had the old, Ron Lim stuff from the 90s. I've had everything up to the series. As soon as they brought out the cover with Star-Lord in his movie costume, that was it. It was off the books. I won't buy it anymore. I'm sorry. I just... The Marvel Universe, Marvel Comics are just a publicity machine for the movies now. There's nothing. I've dropped 50% of my Marvel books just for exactly that reason. So
Moon Knight's been awfully good.
Yeah, apparently that's going. Apparently that's been canned, I believe.
Yeah, Warren Ellis is leaving the book in August, I think.
God damn it.
Which is ridiculous. Exactly, that's it. You get these little kind of, that sounds really interesting. It's like the Carrie Andrews Iron Fist book I'm reading is really, really good. I'm really loving that. And I reckon that won't last very long because it will be kind of like, I've done my thing. It will take 12 issues. I've done it. That's it. And it will stop. And that's, a real shame. But, if you want to see Captain America in 3,000 books, that's fine. No problem at all. So.
Yeah, Warren Ellis, like 15 years ago, said, looking at comic sales and looking at the fact that these companies are, being bought out by these big media conglomerates, you're going to see comics become, it's the IP factory for summer blockbusters.
Well, that's it, and I think that's a shame. I know it's business, and I know it's everything else, but it annoys me that the Marvel Universe is chock full of so many cool characters, and we all constantly get, there's a crisis. Who do we get? Well, we get the same six Avengers pop in and help everyone. Why is that? Well, they're the guys everyone knows from the movies, so that's the only people you'll ever see anymore.
Because there's like 1,000 Avengers. I mean,
exactly. Yeah. I mean, I remember the day, back in the day where it was like Dr. Druid, Namorita, Miss Marvel, crikey, I can't remember the other. But that was, I remember that era I loved that those stories, and they were like almost like a B-list Avengers team, and that was really, really good. And no sign of the big boys now. Now it's like Wolverine's on every team, Captain America's on every team, everything's got an Avengers tie-in somewhere along. I mean, same as Hulk. I mean, Hulk is like probably my favourite Marvel character, and he's constantly bashing heads with Iron Man all the while. And it's just, why do you need to do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's unfortunate. I wish I could give you some shred of hope on that. You know, back before he realized what a small deal I was, I got Dan Abnett to come onto this podcast a few times, a few years back.
Cool.
And then I think someone at Marvel said, hey, you're talking to a guy who has an audience of like 400 people. And he showing up. But I get lucky sometimes. I had Scott Lobdell come on. Yeah, and then the very next podcast I had, Chris McLaughlin from Green Ronin, just ripped him a new one. I actually have Scott Lobdell's phone number in my cell phone. He doesn't answer anymore when I call. I think he listened to the follow-up podcast where Chris called him a talentless hack, which was a shame because Scott has some interesting things to say because he's one of those writers who's still writing DC Comics. But yeah, I don't know. I've liked most of Marvel's movies, but I find myself reading less comics, and the stuff I do read is more independent.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, I was going through previews today and thinking if I could drop... You know, virtually all my Marvel books apart from Iron Fist and probably 50% of my DC books and get a load of Dark Horse stuff or other stuff and probably be happier off, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, I read most of the Mark Waid stuff. Did you like Mark Waid's take on the Hulk or not so much?
The Waid Hulk was the indestructible stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that started off okay and then, yeah, again turned into an Avengers gang fest right near the end of it. And so, and then obviously got tied into Inhumanity, which is another, yay, let's big these up because he's probably going to be the movie universe's take on the mutants because obviously they can't use mutants. So,
well, that's a weird thing. They're making the Inhumans the new mutants, and they're kind of, apparently this is part of Disney's / Marvel's plan to emphasize the characters they have the movie rights for.
Correct.
And
don't get started on what they're doing in Fantastic Four, if it's true.
That's the weirdest rumor I've heard this week.
But I'm so angry about it.
Well, kind of, you had the 75th anniversary poster for Marvel. It went out to a lot of retailers, and it didn't have the X-Men. It didn't have Fantastic Four on it. But, you know, front and center, it had the Guardians of the Galaxy and the Avengers. And
I mean, Yondu from the Guardians of the Galaxy, or Yondulo, or it's called the guy with the mohawk from the Guardians 9th series. It's like, character's not seen print for like 20 years, probably. And he's on his 75th anniversary book. You think, where's the thing? You know, this is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the FF are kind of like the foundation of the modern-day Marvel Universe. And yeah, so the rumor that's been going around is that... The CEO of Marvel is one of the largest shareholders in Disney, and he has a beef with Fox, so he's deciding to... The rumor is he's deciding to have a pissing contest by he's taking Fantastic Four out of all the promotional materials he can, and the rumor was he's going to cancel the book. And now BleedingCool.com is kind of saying, yeah, we're telling you guys about this, but because we're telling you about it ahead of time, this might change what happens because he'll realize he can't say he's canceling it because of, you know, low sales, and, you know, this might wind up... Maybe we're saving Fantastic Four by running this story, which I think gets a little complicated, and I don't know if things really work that way. But there's a story on Bleeding Cool this morning saying that Tom Brevoort of Marvel's VP, is saying, no, we're not canceling him. But they had a guy from Top Deck who did was working on some Marvel-related projects for that company, and he scanned and sent Bleeding Cool a memo saying, none of these characters from Fantastic Four can you include in your artwork? And it was Silver Surfer, Galactus, Fantastic Four, the Skrulls.
It's like I posted on Bleeding Cool myself and basically said that if you go back for us, like, for Smoking Guns, who have they killed off in the last 3 months? Galactus has gone to a negative zone, disappeared off the face of the Earth. They've just killed you with two of the Watcher. These are, like, key Fantastic Four characters. Mm-hmm. And surprise, and now they're all kind of slowly disappearing. Johnny Storm's lost his powers. The entire point of the series at the moment, this one, is kind of like the fall of the Fantastic Four. So they could effectively say, at the end of the book, no more Fantastic Four. They've retired for a little while. You may see Reed in the Avengers, but we won't have a Fantastic Four book. And, you know, I value the comics more than anything else. I mean, you may have decent animated series, you may have decent movies, you may not have bad movies, but the comics themselves are the most important thing to me. And to see something, an exterior force possibly manipulating the key thing I love so much, is the most frustrating thing of all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a crazy rumor going on right now. Although John Byrne apparently has made the offer to run Fantastic Four comics from his own company.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, I'm kind of half and half on John Byrne, but happen in, you know.
That era, that 80s era or 90s era of John Byrne stuff was beautiful stuff.
It was.
Oh, I love that stuff.
So, all right. Well, hey, that's Adrian and I geeking out for Fall Assault.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. I get through it. It might be in my bonnet, so I can get my teeth into it a few times.
No worries. I always liked Uatu. I was sad to see him get killed. I'm sure
he'll
at some point.
It's crazy. It's always like, he's turned up. There's going to be trouble.
Yeah, it's Uatu showing up is kind of like the... it's one of those things you do in the first act of a story, let you know that, you know, shit's about to happen. It's like the helicarrier crashing, you know, things about to get real. So, I don't know. It's, we'll see what happens there. It's kind of hard for me to actually see them canceling such, you know, especially now that it's actually selling. I mean, for years and years, there wasn't a Fantastic Four book because it'd run for a year and it just couldn't sell. But, since the Hickman run and a few others here recently, the book's been doing decent sales, so.
Yeah, the Hickman one was great.
Yeah.
Last one, not so much.
Yeah, so we shall see. All right, well, hey, since Aiden and I have been geeking out, Aldo, you got any comic book or super-related stuff you want to geek out about?
Oh, man, I'm afraid I've been unable to read comics for a long time just because life's gotten in the way, so I've had to make choices. I usually, you know, I'm a teacher, so my students usually fill me in on what's going on. So it makes for good conversation with them, but I can't really, you know, weigh in on the more current stuff.
Oh, where's that? Where are you a teacher at?
Oh, down here in Miami, a place called Palmer Trinity School. I'm a history teacher over here.
Oh, cool. Just American history or world history?
I'm a U.S. is my specialty. I've taught world history as well, but it's I'm an Americanist by training, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just finished.
Hey, go ahead. This is pertinent, actually. I my doctoral dissertation is actually on the evolution of the superhero in American culture. So, so no surprise that I'm in this gig, right?
Do you know Jason Tondreau?
Yeah, I've met him at conferences. We were doing our work more or less at the same time, and we used to present at the Comic Arts Convention that takes place in the middle of San Diego Comic-Con. So I ran into him for a couple of years running over there.
Okay, because we have Jason on the podcast occasionally.
Oh, yeah?
He also does some writing for me. I was going to say, you guys are definitely chewing over some of the same bush.
Yeah. We were doing some very similar types of work, yeah. Different disciplines, but similar type of work. I remember him. I don't know that he'll remember me, but I remember seeing him present.
Oh, cool. Well, interesting. Let's get you guys on together sometime. That could be fun.
Yeah, that could be fun, yeah.
Oh, nifty. Well, hey, Walt, anything you might feel like geeking out about at the moment? Just enjoying the Oxycontin?
Well, that and the conversation, you know, because it's always cool to hear Aide smash the big two, you know. But, you know, the thing you didn't do this time, Aide, is, you know, what are you reading? Because last time you talked about a couple of books that you are enjoying.
What am I reading currently at this exact point in time? Okay. Batman Eternal has been particularly good. I've been enjoying that. That's been rather cool. Iron Fist has been fantastically good, and I'm really liking Starlight from is it Image?
I want to say it is Image, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. It's a old style Flash Gordon riff, kind of old guy going back to the universe to help save, and I love that stuff. So that is kind of probably the first thing I read in my monthly comic parcels it got delivered.
Hey, yes. Quick, did you like the last last issue?
Yeah, it's a slow burn. So I'm kind of taking it at that kind of pace. So it's got potential enough for me to be interested enough to keep on running with it at the moment, definitely. So there's nothing that's kind of for me to go, okay, nothing's happening. So yeah, well, it is pretty cool.
Okay, yeah, I just, the Flash Gordon guy shows up on the planet, you know, well, they don't call it Mongo, but the Urzatz Mongo. And he's ready to join the rebellion and lead them, and he gets in a fight with some cops in a parking lot, and next thing we know, he's in jail. And I'm like, I was hoping for more here.
Yeah, no, it was a bit of a, yeah, it's like, okay, your first encounter with the bad guys, you get arrested, and you're effectively rendered completely useless in about three panels. But yeah, we'll see what happens with it. But I've dropped quite a few books in the last month or two, and just aren't. You know, I tell you, one of the probably most controversial ones, so I think you'd probably agree, I've dropped Batgirl, which is the first time I would have done that. So I know people seem to like Gal Simone. I don't know, just seems to be muddling along for me.
I love Gail Simone. I read Secret Six religiously. I tried to like Batgirl, and I don't have any beef with Gail Simone other than I was just bored. I forgot to pick it up 1 month, and then I was like, do I want it? No, it's okay.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly, yeah. I think it's the same thing happened with Uncanny X-Men. At one point in time, it's like I realized I had that for 3 months and completely, I won't bother anymore, so I haven't read that for years as well. But I think, to be honest, if it's as sad as it is, Yvonne Craig is the Batgirl that I love most. So, I mean, if there's not an Yvonne Craig Batgirl in it, it's just not the same, so...
You should read Batman 66. She's been doing a lot in there lately.
I have been picking it up infrequently, but yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. Walt, you told me about the Batman Green Hornet crossover in Batman 66.
Yes, sir. Did it hit yet?
First issue was hit. It was actually pretty well written, and I was shocked and amazed because Kevin Smith was the writer.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I like Kevin Smith's movies usually. Sometimes I don't. Jersey Girl, but. Yeah, I read this, and it was clever and not too talky, and just hit the tone just right. And I was like, hey, who wrote this? Kevin Smith. What the fuck? How is that? Because Kevin Smith is usually just awfully verbose when he takes to writing comics. He did Daredevil back in the 90s, and it was you could just have these huge, massive word bubbles floating over the page and kind of obscuring anything interesting happening. But
Widening Gaia, his Batman mini, was massively kind of like Batman reads the novel as he goes down the pages. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't think he understood he was writing for a visual medium. But yeah, it's been pretty good so far, so I'll be picking that up next month when it comes back out. So,
yeah, I love the independent stuff. You know, I can't get enough of that stuff. You know, for like Marvel and stuff, I have the Marvel Unlimited app, so I'm not really losing anything if I don't like a book. But the independent stuff, I mean, it's like my crack. Like right now, I'm reading the new one by Kyle Higgins, Cowl. Did you guys check out?
Yeah, I see that for that, but not actually picked it up, no.
Yeah, what happens when superheroes get their own union?
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
That sounds like something I would really like. I should check that out.
Yeah, you should. It's a little like, you know, dark humor, but I mean it's pretty good. It's another Image book. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. Of course, you know, I can't go a while without mentioning, you know, that we did Heroic, that was independent. We have good friends over with over in the Stray community. Stray was another Kickstarter that was done where you know, what happens when the sidekick has to become the hero, you know. Mm-hmm. You got Midnight Tiger, that was really good. You know, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff coming out now that you got so much, so many people being able to just throw, you know, being able to throw stuff on the page. You know, it is no longer such a big barrier to entry anymore. I mean, if you're committed, you can get it done.
Let me just mention one book I've been reading, and I guess you probably know this guy too, because I think he did some work on Stray. Vito Del Sante is doing World War Mob.
World War Mob. Yep.
It's kind of like Godfather or Goodfellas meets Dirty Dozen.
And, yeah. Well, that was Del Sante's book was Stray. He did that through Kickstarter.
Yeah. I love war comics, World War II comics especially, and that's just been a lot of fun so far. We'll see where that goes. So,
did you ever check out? It's an older book. It's several years old now. Do you ever check out War Heroes from Image?
No, never heard of it.
It was kind of creepy. I believe it was an Ellis book.
That's the name that jumped to my head as soon as you said it. Yeah.
Yep. What happens when you have superheroes and then 9/11 happens? You know, and it just the thing that always sticks out into my the difference between an independent comic and the big two is I'm sitting in a coffee shop and we had just gone to the comic shop and we stopped for a coffee. My wife was sitting down and we had gotten her a book at the bookstore and we're sitting down reading and I flip the page and there's a superpower drill instructor that these guys have to kind of whip them into shape. Mm-hmm. And common mistake, you see this in basic training a lot. They pull the pin on a grenade and then they throw the pin.
That actually happens.
It does happen. It happens.
That's a common mistake as well. Now I'm more concerned.
You know, so of course, the drill sergeant is like, don't let that go. So the guy freaks and lets it go. That blows up. Drill sergeant is engulfed in this huge explosion. And when the dust clears, you know, and once again, this is, you know, it's an Image book, so it's independent owned and whatnot. But, you know, I got this like 2-page splash, huge spread of, you know, the drill instructor was superhuman and he was indestructible. So he was fine. And he's yelling at the guy, but his clothing is shredded, and he's got his like a 2-panel spread of his junk just flying out on the page. I'm like, what the hell is this? You know, but it was I couldn't stop laughing. It was just so funny. But I mean, you know, once you got past the you know, the exploding junk, the you know, the commentary on, you know, what would change our way of warfare and you know, how would superheroes approach it, and would we be any different? You know, that was kind of cool. So there's a lot of good stuff out there right now.
Yeah, looks like War Heroes was actually Mark Miller,
okay.
An interesting quote from here saying War Heroes is everything I've been leading up to with Civil War, Ultimates, The Authority, Kick-Ass, and Wanted, and this is what my Ultimates 3 would have been if Brian and I had hung around.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it was good, you know, and I was kind of sad when, you know, it only went so far. But, you know, it, and that's the thing with independent books. You know, you might only get 6 issues or 10 issues or whatnot. And you know something? You know, much like the Nolan Batman movies, I'm good with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm happy if I get issue number 2 of a lot of independents, to be honest with you.
It's true, yeah, because, I mean, half the time, I mean, like with Heroic right now, you know, Andrew's in the writing stage, but he's also doing this and he's also doing that. So, you know, because that is not our day job, you know, you might not get, you know, a book every month. It's the same thing with Stray and same thing with Midnight Tiger. You know, I'm salivating for those books to have, you know, a second issue. And, you know, we haven't even seen all of the panels yet in some of them. So, I mean, it's definitely true.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, speaking of day jobs, I need to get back to the back to slaving away from my corporate overlords. But I want to thank you guys for coming on. Aldo, Aid, Walt, good talking to you guys. Aldo, we'll have to have you back in the future if you're up for it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Cool, cool. And check out Supers, available right now on RPG Now, and we'll have some links in the show notes to shows, say, the forums and some of the other stuff we were talking about. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you next time on the Banff Podcast.